Welcome to the Globe Hockey Roundtable podcast. This is your host, Darren York in Toronto, on the line for our annual Toronto Maple Leafs preview pod. This is our Leaf Beat reporter, James Myrtle. How's it going, buddy?
Good. The round table's pretty small. It's just you and me.
Just two today. I know we're not supposed to come to many conclusions at this time of year, but I do have a few observations for you to comment on. First, despite many additions in the offseason that made it look like the third and fourth lines would be more about competing than punching this season, Colton Orr and Fraser McLaren remain in camp with the team. Why?
Well, I mean, it's because the philosophy hasn't changed for Randy Carlyle, and I don't think it's changed for Dave Nonis either, and there's going to be some internal debate in the organization over what the roster's going to be here in the last 4 or 5 days of training camp. So, I would suspect, I don't know this for a fact, but I would suspect that there would be disagreement between someone like Kyle Dubas and someone like Randy Carlyle on keeping Colton Orr on the roster. But, every indication is that he's probably going to be on that final 23-man roster, and the injury to David Booth helped him. The fact that Petri Kontiola did not look very good in training camp. I mean, the training camp I saw of him, he looked very, very slow. That's just made it even more likely that they're going to be able to keep a fighter on the roster. And the bad part about that is that they could lose a useful player because they're going to have to put some decent players on waivers in order to keep someone like Colton Orr. So, and if they do that, which, as I said, I think they are going to do that, it would be sort of more of the same of what we've seen in the past.
Seems like the odd man out could be Carter Ashton, who's kind of an interesting guy in that I'm not sure we really have a grasp of what he can do at this level, just on who he's been paired with here.
Yeah, well, I was looking at it today because I got some disagreement from fans or whatever, and saying, "Oh, this guy's no good. He can't play." I don't know how we know that. I mean, you look at last year; he played 32 games. He averaged 6 minutes a game. His two line mates, most frequent line mates, and majority of the time he's played with, were Jay McClimmon and Colton Orr, who generate almost no offense. I don't know how we can put the fact that this young guy who was 22 last year can put it on this young guy that he didn't generate offense in really his first NHL season, playing 6 minutes a night with two players that don't generate offense. I mean, that makes no sense at all to me. But that's kind of some of the thinking that seems to be out there in the fan base. And the thing is, I don't think Carter Ashton is going to be. I mean, they got him for Keith Holley, who I don't think is an NHL defenseman, he's having a tough time in Edmonton's training camp. I don't think that he's going to be a world beater, but he could be the 11th or 12th forward. He could be a guy you could develop into something, a little bit better player. He's a big kid, and he showed, most importantly, he showed in the AHL last year that he can score goals. I mean, he had a really, really successful about 25 games with the Toronto Marlies last year, enough that I think that you should put him on the roster. But then you look at what's happened in preseason, and he's barely played. And the talk out there, Elliot Friedman had a report out there the other day that he's probably going to get traded, probably for a draft pick, and it's kind of deja vu from the Joel Colburn situation last year.
And he broke his nose like four times last year.
He's trying to fit into that mold of what Randy Carlyle wants because he's a big guy, but he's not a good fighter. That's just not what he is. What he is, he's a big guy who can go to the front of the net and who can bang in some pucks. And I think you'd hope he'll be a guy that can score 10 goals and get 20 points while playing 10 minutes a game. And like I said, he's young. His development, I think, has been stalled a little bit in how they've used him and barely playing him. And one of the things Shanahan has talked about quite a bit since coming is that he wants to improve the development systems the Leafs have. Here's an example of a guy that they could try and develop a little bit better.
What about Matt Fratton? I get the sense that he might be in some danger of not making this team.
Yeah, and what's happened is that Josh Lavo and Brandon Cozen have both outplayed him, and they've kind of come out of nowhere to do so. I didn't think either one of them would have a chance of making the team. Now it kind of looks like both might make the team. And Fratton had a really, really bad year last year between LA and Columbus. He fell out of favor very quickly with both coaching staffs on both teams. And I think what we might be seeing is he just might be a tweener. He might be a guy that's good in the AHL and not so good in the NHL and could end up, extending his career over in Europe. I mean, he's in real danger this season if he can't make the Leafs and can't make some kind of an impact, even on the fourth line. He's in real danger of playing his way out of the NHL this year. And Randy Carlyle said he the other day he felt sorry for him because it seemed like the puck was bouncing away from him and things weren't going very well. And my guess is that on opening night, he's probably going to be the 13th or the 14th forward.
For those who haven't seen a ton of him, Josh Levo is a pretty interesting guy, really trending in the right direction for a prospect. 22 or 23 goals, I think, in the AHL last year. Can you just give a little scouting report on him?
Well, he's not a big guy. I mean, the thing he needs to work on is strength. I know last year with the Marlies, I think he was playing at, I want to say, about 170, 175 pounds. So, you know, he's got room to grow there, obviously, but was a scorer in junior. He only played 59 games, I think, last year for the Marlies in the regular season. So to put up that kind of goal totals at as young an age as he is really encouraging. And the thing that he's got an NHL-caliber shot. I mean, you can see it in preseason that he can. I mean, it's kind of like maybe the opposite a little bit of Kozin, who doesn't really, I don't think, has great finishing skills, but has the wheels. Levo has to work on some other things on his defensive game a little bit, but he's got that shot and he can convert. And, you know, they're looking at putting him on the second line where someone like Kadri can just tee him up to use that shot again and again. And, you know, it's good on him for playing his way this close to an NHL roster spot at the young age that he is. I mean, it bodes well because I think he was only a third round pick. So, you know, that's an example of a guy that we were talking about that they can work on and develop, and maybe he turns into something more than they thought he was going to be.
A lot of time and space has been devoted to David Clarkson and, you know, him being in terrific shape and his determination to have a bounce back year. I would ask, why is he still fighting in the preseason?
I don't know. I don't know. I don't have a good answer for you there. I mean, other than he's a guy that I think on the ice has a hard time controlling his emotions. I mean, I think that's part of what happened when he jumped off the bench in preseason last year. I mean, he just gets really caught up in the game and what's happening and reacts to it. And I think that part of it is that Clarkson has the mentality of a guy who had a really tough time. I mean, he was never drafted in the NHL. He was always, for a long time, was kind of like a third, fourth line checker guy just hanging on the bottom of an NHL roster. And I think he still kind of has that mentality. And he doesn't have the mentality of a guy that, you know, the Leafs are counting on to be more than that. And the other thing, too, is he's older. I mean, his body, it seems like his body is kind of breaking down on him a little bit more than it was earlier in his career when he didn't miss a lot of games. And that's a big red flag given, you know, he's under contract for another six more years.
I don't know if you heard, but the Leafs gave up too many shots on goal last year. Enter new assistant coach Peter Horacek, who was brought in to fix the club's most glaring weakness. The old system was kind of, I've seen it called the swarm, which I guess you'd describe it by basically outnumbering your opponent on the puck down low, which didn't work very well for the Leafs last year, and they really struggled to break out of their own end when they did manage to control the puck. Can you explain a bit about what the new system is supposed to look like and if you've seen any evidence it's going to work?
Well, they'll go back more to a man-on-man kind of. I mean, they haven't talked a lot of specifics about the system the days that I've been in training camp, but it's going to be, you know, more of your typical non-swarm type system where, you know, you're not trying to overload the puck carrier, which is kind of what you're talking about. You know, part of the problem with the swarm is, like you said, I mean, you get the puck, and then all of a sudden some of your options to pass to are sitting there right beside you, and you can't really pass to a guy that's right beside you. So, and other teams, what they were doing, I mean, the perfect example last year was that game against St. Louis where I bet anything that Ken Hitchcock saw what was happening with the swarm and set it up so that his players were going to be working the puck along the blue line. And basically what Hitchcock did was put three players high and took advantage of the Leafs who had all their players caught down low. And, you know, that game was one of the most lopsided shot totals we saw. So the new system is going to be more, they're going to be trying harder to prevent clean entries into their zone coming into the defensive zone. And on, you know, on the offensive side, they're going to be trying harder to have those clean entries and not just, I mean, there were so many times last year when the defense didn't have an option, so they fired the puck down to JVR or whoever on the left wing. He tipped the puck and it went down in the other end. At least maybe they would change. And then the other team just came back the other way. And, you know, that's part of the reason why the Leafs had some of the highest shots against totals that we've ever seen in the league.
What's your best bet based on what we know right now, how the top six defense is going to shake out on opening night?
It's hard to know. I mean, I don't know if Stefan Robida is going to be ready for opening night. I mean, they're saying he is. They're saying he's going to play in the last preseason game on Friday. I don't know that Cody Franzen's going to be ready. And if both those guys aren't ready, then we're looking at Holzer and Stuart Percy making the team and, you know, probably having, if not the youngest defense in the NHL, then one of the youngest on opening night. So those are kind of the question marks. My sense is that Robidoux will be ready and Franzen probably won't, and he's going to miss some games, and we don't know how many games because there hasn't been an official injury report on that. So, you know, I think the good news is that Stuart Percy has surprised some people. I mean, he's kind of like the Laveau on defense kind of thing, and he's a guy that I really like, and I really liked in his junior career, especially when I saw him play at the Memorial Cup. You know, and his best tool is sort of his hockey sense and his head and how smartly he moves the puck out of the defensive zone, which is what the Leafs need. So, you know, the only question is, I mean, he's a left-side guy and Holzer's a right-side guy, and if they want to keep Dionfanoff on the left, that probably puts Holzer in a better spot to take either Robidoux or Franzen's spot if one of those guys is still beat up next week. So, you know, I think the biggest problem for the Leafs this year is going to be their blue line. And unless Robidoux can surprise us and have another great season like he did two or three years ago at 37 years old.
Well, there's a giant red flag, right? Like you said, 37, coming off a broken leg, and so much depends on him being able to find his game.
The thing is, I really like Stefan Robidoux's game if he is what he was a couple of years ago. I mean, he has been a top pairing defenseman for Dallas in the past, all those years he played in Dallas, and a pretty good one. I mean, if you want to look at analytics or you want to look at watching him, I mean, he's been an underrated player, not huge offensive totals, but just a really smart, safe, like a Francois Beauchemin was when, you know, like Beauchemin is in Anaheim or even when he was in Toronto, and the Leafs just desperately need more smart players in their own end. So if Robidoux can get back to being a number two or a number three, I mean, that's huge for this team because they need that. If he can't, I think they're in huge trouble. You know, they just don't have, then it's going to fall to Riley and Gardner being even better than they were last year. And I think they had pretty decent seasons last year.
And it's also shaping up, I mean, especially if the two young guys have to go opening night to one of those patented Dionfanoff plays 30 minutes against the top competition.
Yeah, and, you know, and they've been playing Phaneuf some with Roman Polak, and, you know, the preseason game I saw against Detroit this week, that looked terrible. I mean, Detroit, the Leafs did outshoot the Red Wings, and they were able to limit them, but when those two were on the ice together, I don't think it worked at all, and the problem is that those two, their strength isn't really getting on the puck, and they were chasing in the defensive zone a whole lot, so there was a really interesting piece on Maple Leaf Hot Stove, the blog, by David Johnson. He wrote about Dionfanoff, looking at his stats when the Leafs are trailing in games and when they're leading in games. I don't know, did you see that piece this
mm-hmm.
week?
Yep.
Yeah, it was really, really good. And it kind of highlights what I've been saying about Phaneuf for 3 or 4 years, that he's an offensive defenseman, and his strength is playing from behind when you need a goal. And the Leafs desperately need to build a different pairing to take the tough minutes and take the defensive minutes and give Phaneuf the minutes that he's good at. And if that means trying Riley and Robidoux or Gardner and Robidoux, they need to try something different because, you know, moving Phaneuf to the left side, playing him with Robidoux, and as he said, giving him 27, 28 minutes a night against the toughs in mostly defensive situations, it's just a recipe for non-success, just like it was last year, and just like it has been, I think, for most of Phaneuf's tenure, especially under Randy Carlyle.
I guess if we're searching for positives, Bernier looks like he's in mid-season form already, no hangover from the surgery.
Yeah, he said he's fine. Yeah, I mean, he said he's been fine for a long time, actually. So apparently it wasn't just a groin. Apparently there was some kind of a hernia kind of surgery that he needed as well. So he had a couple of things he had to get cleared up, but the only thing is, I mean, I think they need to worry a bit more about getting a better balance because I think part of what happened to Bernier is he got worn out, and then that's where those injuries started coming in. And he's a guy that hasn't been a number one in the NHL, obviously, but before last season. If they can get a better balance where the splits are kind of like 55-35 instead of, you know, having to have Bernier in there every single night for them to have a chance, I think that'll be a lot better. I mean, they need to keep him fresh because he wore down. So if they can keep him at 50-55 games, that would be ideal, and they're going to need Reimer to be probably a little bit better than he was at the end of last year.
you give us a scouting report on young Mr. Nylander and where you think he should play this season?
That's a tough one. I mean, if they have a hole there, I can see certainly giving him, you know, the 9 games in the NHL if they're going to be able to give him some minutes. After that, you know, I think I'd like to see him with the Marlies. I mean, I would play the stink out of him in the AHL, let him learn the North American game. The good thing about that is, I mean, you can bring him up and down. Just keep him at the 9 games or less, and you don't burn a year of his contract. It's a real advantage that he's not under contract right now over in Europe, and he can play in the AHL, and it sounds like he's willing to play in the AHL. Why not? You know, and the only concern there is that the Marlies have a lot of young players you want to get minutes to, so you just have to make sure that you've got enough time to make sure Nylander is one of your real marquee guys and plays a lot.
What have you seen from him?
He kind of reminds me a little bit of Kadri. I don't know if that's what you think as well. But I mean, just body type, and he's kind of what they need more of, other than being so small. And I like the idea that, I mean, he can essentially play both wings or center. They're going to try him at wing, and it was a good pick. You know, when you pick it at 8th, you're not guaranteed a superstar. So go with a guy that has high-end talent and hope you get lucky. And so far from what I've seen, I think that there's certainly potential that could happen.
Just based on where we are, it's Thursday. There's one more game tomorrow night. The season starts Wednesday. How do you see the next few days shaping out in terms of cuts and getting a final roster?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's a different schedule than I've seen the Leafs have in the past, where they played almost all their preseason games at the beginning. So, you know, now I don't think they'll make any cuts on Friday, the day of the game, but Saturday, Sunday, absolutely. And then they're going to want to be down to their actual roster, give or take a body or two, because they're going to want to practice together and get ready for the home opener next Wednesday. So, you know, it could be, I could see Saturday afternoon they make a couple of cuts, and Sunday they make a couple more, and then they get Monday and Tuesday to practice with the team that they've got, and then that's when you start working on things like power play and penalty kill and the breakout a little bit more, because you know who's playing with who. And that idea of getting chemistry and getting D pairings and getting line combinations together, that's what to look for in the last preseason game. Because if you look at the lines that Randy Carlyle had put together in practice leading up to that, looks pretty much like the final roster, and like he's thinking long and hard about using the same players in that final preseason game that he's going to use on opening night against Montreal.
All right, we'll leave it there, and thanks for doing this, and we'll see you at the game tomorrow night.
Okay, thanks, Darren.